Our scripture reading today is taken from two passages in the New Testament. The first is from Philippians chapter 3, and we read the verses 7 through 12. Hear the word of God. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, the verses 44 through 46. Again, hear God's word. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. Dear friends, the world attaches value to many things. It attaches value to money, to precious stones and metals, to houses and cars and possessions. It attaches value to certain ideas, equality, fairness, inclusion. It attaches value to certain rights, the right to assemble, the right to protest, the right to worship, the right to a free press, the right to equal treatment under the law. And to be sure, many of these things are valuable. But there is one thing in this life that is more valuable, more precious than any or all of these things combined. It is the kingdom of God. What you say is the kingdom of God. Well, we can define the kingdom of God as the rule or reign of God in the hearts and lives of his people. Wherever there are people who come into contact with or are confronted with the demands of or who live out the implications of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is the kingdom of God. Now, the Lord Jesus spoke a lot about the kingdom. Most of his parables are about the kingdom. And that is also true of the two parables we read together from Matthew 13, the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great price. Both of these parables are remarkably similar, and as such, they ought to be treated together, which is what we will also do today. In the first place, both parables speak of men finding something that is very precious and valuable. The one speaks of a man finding treasure in the field, while the other speaks of a man finding the one pearl of great price. Secondly, both parables speak of the cost involved in obtaining these treasures. In both cases, the men sold all that they had. The man who found the treasure sold everything that he had in order to buy the field that contained the treasure. And the merchant sold everything that he had in order to buy the pearl of great price. But there are important differences as well, all of which serve to complement each other. The first parable focuses on the thing sought. Jesus says, "The kingdom is like unto a treasure hid in a field." The second parable focuses on the person doing the seeking. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls." Secondly, in the first parable, the person who found the treasure was not looking for it. He stumbled across it by accident, as it were. Whereas in the second parable, the man who found the one pearl of great price was not looking for this one pearl specifically, but he was looking for goodly pearls in general. In both of these parables, our Lord is teaching an important lesson about the kingdom of heaven. And the lesson is that this kingdom is of immense worth. It is of immense value. It is of more value than anything else that this world has to offer. Now, with that thought in mind and God's help, let us consider the words of our text under the theme, "The Surpassing Worth of Christ's Kingdom." And we'll see that this worth is communicated, first of all, by the comparison that is made, and secondly, by the price that is paid. What is the value of the kingdom of heaven? If you had to put a price on the kingdom of heaven, what price would you put on it? Well, you couldn't put any price on it. And that's because the kingdom of heaven is more valuable than anything on earth. Nothing on earth is more valuable than the kingdom of heaven. Now, this thought is conveyed by the Lord Jesus in both of the parables before us. In the first parable, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a treasure hidden in a field. Now, most of us would find that rather far-fetched. I mean, how many people do you know who found a treasure in a field? But in Jesus' day, this was not as far-fetched as it might seem to us today. And that's because in his day, there were no banks. Consequently, when wealthy people wanted to keep their money safe, they would put it in an earthenware vessel, and they would bury it in a secret location. But if the person happened to die suddenly, without telling anyone about the whereabouts of that vessel, if it was later found, it would become the property of the person who owned the land where it was buried. Now, that's exactly what we see happening here. A man, possibly a servant who was digging or plowing or even a passerby, discovered a treasure hidden in a field. Now, in the second parable, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a merchant seeking goodly pearls until he found one that was of great price. You notice Matthew writes, "one pearl of great price." By this he means the one and only pearl, a pearl that was above all other pearls, a pearl that was so valuable that nothing else compared to it. Now, needless to say, a treasure and a pearl are extremely valuable. With such a treasure and such a pearl, a man would be set for life. He would have no more financial concerns. He would have plenty to supply him in all of his needs, and as well as the needs of all of his dependents. Well, so is also with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is as valuable and as precious as a treasure and a pearl of great price. Now, why is that? What makes the kingdom of heaven so valuable and precious? So the answer to that is its benefits. And what are the benefits of this kingdom? Well, there are so many of them. We can think of the forgiveness of sins. We can think of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the adoption of sons, access to God, peace with God, freedom from condemnation, the gift of everlasting life, communion and fellowship with God and with his people to an everlasting eternity. These are just some of the benefits of the kingdom of God, and each of these is extremely valuable and precious. They are like so many precious jewels and gold coins in a large chest, and they are all ours when we repent of our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What is more, the mediator of these benefits is valuable and precious. And who is this mediator, you say? Well, he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And who can compare to him? Who is more precious to the soul than the Lord Jesus? He who was betrayed for a mere 30 pieces of silver is worth infinitely more than all of the gold and silver of this world. When Mary wanted to show her love to the Lord, she took a box of spikenard worth about a year's wages for an average laborer. And she broke that box, and she poured the spikenard over his head and over his feet. The disciples, when they saw this, were aghast. The perfume that she poured on Jesus could have been sold, they said, and the money could have been given to the poor. But Mary did not think it was a waste. She knew that within a short time, her Lord would make the ultimate sacrifice. He would die for her sins and the sins of all of his people. Of what value was a box of spikenard compared to Jesus? It was nothing. He was more valuable and precious to her than 1,000 boxes of spikenard. His price is far above rubies. He is the chiefest among 10,000. Sadly, by nature, we do not see this. By nature, we see neither the value of the kingdom or the king of this kingdom. And that's precisely what our Lord is seeking to teach us in these two parables. Take, for example, the man who found the treasure hidden in a field. He wasn't looking for it. He stumbled upon it quite by accident, possibly when he was digging or plowing, or perhaps even when he was just passing by. That was also true for the merchant man. Jesus says he was looking for goodly pearls, which is what any merchant does. But he was not looking for the one pearl of great price. Like the man who found the treasure, he too stumbled across this pearl quite by accident. One day he happened to be at the pearl exchange and in the marketplace, and there it was. The same is true when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. Due to our fall into sin, by nature we do not see the value of this kingdom. We are blind to it, and we are ignorant of it. By nature, man sees value only in the things of this life. His money, his possessions, his place and position in society, his values, his ideas, his aims, his goals, his aspirations. He sees no value at all in the things of God. And this is why you can present people with the gospel and they don't respond. This is why people who were born in Christian homes, were baptized even, who received a Christian upbringing, who went to church perhaps their whole life long, perhaps even at one point made a confession of their faith in Jesus Christ, and yet later on leave everything behind in order to live in and for the world. Why does that happen? Because at root they see no value in it. Well, yes, they may have seen some value in it at one time, but not enough that they would be prepared to sell everything for it. Oh, my friend, what about you? Do you see the value of this kingdom? There's only one way we will ever see the value of this kingdom. It is if our eyes are opened by the Holy Spirit. Has He opened your eyes? Make no mistake, this is not something the Lord has to do for us when we first come to know Him. He has to do this again and again and again. Because again and again and again we fool ourselves into thinking that other things are more valuable than the kingdom of God. And therefore our prayer must be every day, Lord, open my eyes to see the inestimable value of the kingdom of God and that nothing in this world can compare to it. The value of the kingdom, therefore, is illustrated in the comparison which Jesus makes. He compares it to a treasure and to a pearl of great price. But it is also illustrated in the price paid. And that brings us to our second point. When you find something really valuable or something that you really want, you are prepared to pay almost anything for it. Is that not true? Think of art collectors. Art collectors are prepared to pay tens of millions of dollars, in some cases even hundreds of millions, for a painting or a sculpture by a famous artist. Well, such was also the case here in our text. We read that when the man found the hidden treasure, he covered it up and sold everything that he had so that he could buy the field and take possession of the treasure. And the merchantman did the same thing when he found the pearl of great price. Now some have said that the man who bought the field acted dishonestly. They say he should have told the owner of the field about the treasure he had found rather than keep it a secret. Others have pointed out that if the man was dishonest, he would have simply taken the treasure without buying the field at all. But all of this is to miss the point. Jesus' point is simply that the treasure was so valuable that the man was prepared to sell everything that he had in order to get it. Now that's quite astounding. We can understand if a man were to lay out a large sum of money in order to get something that he wants. But not many people would sell everything that they have in order to get one thing. And yet that's exactly what these men did. The man who found the treasure sold all that he had to buy the one field. The merchant sold all that he had to buy the one pearl of great price. Why did they do it? Because they saw great value in the thing they wanted to buy. The man saw great value in his treasure. The merchant man saw great value in the pearl of great price. In fact, they valued these things so much that in their estimation they were worth more than the value of all of their possessions combined. Now, such is the case for all whose eyes have been opened to see the value of the kingdom of God. They want it so much that they are prepared to do anything. They are prepared to give up anything, to pay anything, to make any sacrifice in order to get it. Now, does this mean that we can buy the kingdom of God? Of course not. In fact, it's impossible. For one thing, we have nothing to pay with, since we are miserable, hell-deserving sinners, and even our best works are as filthy rags before the Lord. For another thing, the kingdom of God is priceless, so we could never afford to buy it, even if it could be bought. For another thing, the Bible explicitly states that the kingdom of God cannot be bought with money. In Isaiah 55, verse 1, the Lord says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price." For this reason, some have said that the men in the two parables is Christ, and the treasure and pearl are the church. But that cannot be, since these two parables, as well as all of the parables in Matthew 13, are about the coming of the kingdom in the hearts of men. Well, what then does Jesus mean? Well, when Jesus uses the word buy, he means to obtain or to appropriate. His point is that when the eyes of a sinner have been opened to see something of the value of the kingdom of God, he will desire it so much that nothing will compare to it. And he will strive to obtain it at all costs. Now, is that not true? Are there not many examples of this in the Bible? Think, for example, of Moses. Moses was brought up in the palace of Pharaoh. As such, he had the best of everything. He had the best education. He wore the best clothing. He ate the best food. But he turned his back on it all in order to suffer with the people of God. The writer to the Hebrews says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Or we can think of Matthew. Matthew was a wealthy, influential, and prominent tax collector. But when the Lord Jesus called him to follow him, what did he do? Luke says he left all and followed Christ. We can think too of the Apostle Paul. Paul was a leading Pharisee, taught by Gamaliel himself. A rising star in the Sanhedrin. He received from the Sanhedrin authority to go to Damascus and to bring bound to Jerusalem as many followers of Christ as he could find. But when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him on the way, Paul cried out, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And at that moment, he left everything behind to follow Christ. Years later, perhaps reflecting on this very experience, the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3 these well-known words which we read earlier. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, he writes, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, Paul saw the emptiness and the vanity of everything that he thought could earn him the favor of God. He realized that when he lacked and what he needed but could never earn, and it was solely to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what did he do? He left everything behind in order to follow him. Oh, my friend, what about you? What are you prepared to give up for the Lord and for his kingdom? Sadly, most people are not prepared to give up anything. If they are, it's very little. And that's because their hearts are wrapped up in the things of this life. They love their possessions. They love their wealth. They love their status in society. They love their lifestyle more than they love Christ. Some, in fact, don't love him at all. They see no value in him. It is true of most people today what Isaiah said of the Jews in Isaiah 53, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. When Jesus told the rich young ruler to go and sell everything that he had and give it to the poor and follow him, the man couldn't do it. Why not? Because he was too attracted to his riches. The same is true for many people today. They love their riches more than they love Christ. But what foolishness. In Matthew chapter 6, 19 and 20, Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Oh, do you see what Jesus is saying? Why should we not lay up for ourselves treasures on earth? Because they don't last. Whatever the world has to offer, it's here today and it's gone tomorrow. Nor can they satisfy our deepest need. Think of the rich fool. Only Christ can meet our deepest need. And therefore, we must flee to him. We must give up everything for him. Or are you prepared to do that today? If not, your heart is not right before God. In Matthew 6, after Jesus exhorted his hearers not to lay up for themselves treasures on earth, he said this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. His point is that what we pursue after, what gives us the most meaning and satisfaction and purpose and joy in life, is a reflection of what lives in our hearts. If what gives us the most meaning, the most satisfaction, the most purpose, and the most joy in life are the things of this world, then our hearts are not right with God. But if what gives us the most meaning and satisfaction, purpose, and joy in life are the things of God, then our hearts are right before God. So I ask you today, which is true for you? Where's your heart today? Oh, may God so work in our hearts that we may see the preciousness of Christ and the value of his kingdom. And that seeing that, we may be prepared to give up everything for him. For he is most worthy. Amen. We are always pleased to hear from our listeners. If you are blessed by the message you have heard today, or if you were blessed by previous messages on this program, won't you please let us know? Our mailing address is The Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road, that's spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or feel free to give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at Banner of Truth Radio. It's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. If you would like more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, which sponsors this broadcast, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.